God is amazing and cool. And again, if you're a guest, don't want you to feel left out. Just keep coming and you'll be on that slideshow next year. What a difference a year makes. What a difference a day makes with God. Scripture says that a day is like 1,000 years to God. In other words, in one day, God can transform your life. We use that scripture a lot that talks about how a day is like 1,000 to the Lord. And in other words, you got to wait for your breakthrough. And totally, there's a good teaching on that. But also a day, one day in God's kingdom is like 1,000. In other words, he comes and hovers great truth over you. And he can grow you up that quick from being a slave. You're saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we come into the kingdom when we say our prayer and we ask him into our lives. We have an understanding that we're a slave and we live in some forms of poverty, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. But then all of a sudden, in one day, God starts transforming our lives and we go from being a slave to being a friend with God. But then what's amazing, he takes us from being a friend to knowing that we're a son and daughter. Where you know that you're loved, there's not a second of a day goes by that you don't know that he radically loves you. It's not all these days like you was as a slave where you doubted and you pondered so many times, does he really love me? A slave thinks like that. But all of a sudden, he brings forth transformation. Again, remember, a day is like 1,000 years. He pours out revelation upon you. And all of a sudden, man, there's even another progression. Not only are you a son or a daughter, now you start being a spiritual mom and dad. And the degree that you allow God to continue to influence your heart is the degree of influence you have as a spiritual mom and dad. What I'm talking about is government of God. He looks for moms and dads because you see, moms and dads can walk into a city and they speak forth the kingdom of God. They know how to bless a city and influence starts happening. That's what one day with God is. And we've had a year. And we're going to get to that here in a moment. If you're a guest here, and again, you might not be used to the kind of worship we had. I want to invite you, man, God is that kind of worship. David, in the story of returning the Ark of the Covenant back, he wore kingly clothes. I mean, the proper way to do church, if you will. But man, he saw the faithfulness of God this day that they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And he had to bust off his kingly robe. And it says he gets down to his underwear. Because the radical way of freedom that he needed to have to worship God in that moment was amazing. And isn't it amazing that in that day, David gives bread and fruit and an abundance of food to everybody in Israel that day. Everybody in Israel got to take it a basket of goodies home. I wonder how come we're so economically challenged as a nation and as a churches. Is it because we really don't give thanks and worship like that? So there's poverty in the house of God? That's just a nice little infomercial for you to think about. But I believe it's true. I believe when we as people start being thankful to God's faithfulness, there will no longer be lack in your life and in your family, and there will not be lack in the house of God. But also in that worship, we also believe in prophecy. We believe that God speaks and tells us things ahead about an individual life, about a church, about a city, about a nation. He took Ezekiel out to prophesy over all of Israel about a bunch of dry bones, but yet we've allowed the enemy to try to take prophecy out of the church. God's still the God who loves to talk to his sons and daughters and give them words. So in that, if you're a guest and you're not used to that, I wanted to set the backdrop and platform to that. It's Scripture. I can show it to you many, many times through Scripture. Prophecy even causes unbelievers in that place to go, wow, there is a God. Maybe the reason the devil's been able to try to tell the church that prophecy's was for the old times is because he wants to keep a bunch of people lost and not knowing him. Amen? All right. And so with that, Miss Lori has a word for somebody in the house.
In thinking about the service today and just how amazing it is, how far we've come in a year. God's about transformation. I know he's changed my life in the last year, and he's changed the lives of so many people in here, but there's one person that God just has continually had a spotlight on for me for the last month and a half, 2 months. Courtney, would you come here? You know I only do this because I love you. I have watched Courtney over the last year, and Courtney has struggled, but Courtney has overcome. And when you walked into service about 3 weeks ago, I honestly didn't recognize you. I thought, who is that beautiful new girl? You are so different. Your countenance is different. The way you carry yourself is different. And I know it's because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so I want to pray for you today, because I believe God, he's not done. And I honestly believe he's about to open up something for you that is going to blow your mind. So I just want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful woman of God. For this woman, Father, that you knew before she was formed in her mother's womb, that you have been there with all through these years, Father, the years of searching, the years of loneliness, the years of feeling like she didn't belong. But Father, she does belong. She belongs to you. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing over Courtney, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that she would feel and know and understand your love in a new way this year. Father, that there would be no doubt in her mind or in her heart or in her spirit that you have called her, that you have chosen her, that you love her. Father, I pray that everything, every person, every avenue of the enemy that has tried to come against Courtney in the past will no longer have effect. Father, that she will walk in favor and in fullness in Jesus' name. That every step she takes, Father, would be a step ordained by you. That there be no going back. No going back in Jesus' name. No going back ever. No falling away. This is a new day. This is a new road that God has set for you. It's not going to be easy, but you have a family here who loves you and is wanting to walk with you through it. I thank you for the faithful prayers of Bridget's parents, for those tears that have been shed for her over the years, Father. I pray that none would go to waste, for I know you've caught every one of them, and you cherish them, you treasure them. Every tear that has been shed for this young woman has not gone unnoticed. So, Father, I pray that you would take those tears and you would use them to wash over Courtney today with your mercy and your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Cool? I see Mama over here excited, so. And Grandma's big time excited. Real quickly, for those guests that were here for the first time, some of the videos you saw are very outreach outside the four walls of the church. Real quickly, maybe this will be all that I share today. I went to Cambodia on a mission trip. I was at Sojourn Church for 16 and a half years and was bored with my Christian walk. We all get like that at times because so much of our Christian walk is about inside the four walls of the church, if you will. At least also if you're a pastor on staff, it can become that way. And I went to Cambodia, and only my wife and one other person knew it, that if God didn't touch me in a big way, I was coming back and resigning as a staff pastor of about 20 years, 16 and a half at Sojourn, and then a year and a half or two in a Nazarene church in Hereford. Alan and his family walked in here. They used to go to the Nazarene church there, and they live in the Metroplex apparently here. And he walks in. When we were younger, we used to play a lot of softball. So he looks like he could still play. I might be struggling out there. But anyway, you know, God had always wired C and I to be very outreach motivated. Our youth ministries that God put us over were always outreach motivated. And somehow, and I really believe this is a disease in the American church and whole, we're so much inside the four walls of the church. And I even talked to a lot of pastors and go, man, we don't even look outside our back door, talking about their church in particular. And in that aspect, I go to Cambodia and I take 12 CDs of Mike Bickles and about 5 CDs of Graham Cooks, and because I'm hungry for God. I'm crying out for God to bust me out of this cave that I'm in, if you will. That you have to act politically correct in the church and all these other things. And I believe that political correctness is that we see in our nation. You get everybody to compromise to get something passed through Washington, D.C. Political correctness is in the American church. We don't call sin what God calls sin and do it in a measure of love and so forth and so on. And so I board up on that plane on February the 24th, and what very few people know, that would have been my biological dad's birthday if he'd have still been alive. And so I really felt like God was doing something and saying there, because God is always speaking prophetically if we're willing to watch and listen. Because you see, this trip to Cambodia was set up like 6 to 8 months ago. Nobody on staff at Sojourn knew that February 24th was my dad's birthday. So whenever God's talking about your biological dad, let me tell you, he's talking at a higher realm. First in the natural, it says in Corinthians, and in the spirit. So when I board up on that plane on my dad, would have been dad's birthday, I know my daddy in heaven's got something special for me. We start going over, and of course it's a 13 and a half fly into Tokyo, and then you have a 4-hour layover, and then a 7-hour flight into Bangkok, Thailand, and then an hour into Phnom Penh. So you have plenty of time to really encounter God. And I did, and God was faithful. But I got over there, and I met a group of people, and I know my wife Celia's been there, and Coley's been there on a mission trip to this ministry. And you get over there, and you meet people who make 2 cents a day. You get over there, and you meet people who are hungry for God, who live in sheds with no rooftop. And they have monsoon winds that mean monsoon rains that literally fill their house up, because when you go visit the slums, 80% of them literally do not have rooftops, and they have water up to their hips 6 months, 5 to 6 months out of the year. And they got joy on their life, and I don't understand it. I meet a lady who rides her bike 1.5 hours just to come to the church service, to the prayer meeting that starts at 5 in the morning. And many of us, and I was included in that, won't even come to a prayer meeting when we can drive in a nice, cool, air-conditioned car. Right? If I mention a prophet's going to be here tonight, again, there'll be 400 people lined up to get a word, and I want that, but you say there's going to be a prayer meeting, and we might, if we have lucky, to have 10. And it speaks of the immaturity and the lukewarmness of the American church. And God wants to stir our hearts. So again, I'm meeting these people over there. I meet a ministry that have raised 3 people from the dead over there. So again, if you're a guest and that's not your theology, I want to invite you to understand that what Christ did in the Gospels and what they did in the book of Acts, he still does today. And so we meet these 3 people that through time, and one of them had been raised from the dead just a few days, right, before you got there, or a short time in 1993. He had been dead for 8 hours. And it's really a funny story. His wife, this man's wife, He was a mean man, got drunk and beat her all the time. And then he dies, and so she's kind of rejoicing, but she goes to the church that day. Of course, I would probably rejoice if I had a spouse that beat me and was drunk all the time. And the pastor that day preached about needing to bless and to be thankful. And she gets convicted by God that she needs to go to the funeral home and pray over her husband and bless him. Knew less about the Word of God and had been in less services than most of us, if not all of us, in this place. She goes to this little coroner place, if you will, funeral home, prays for her husband, and as well as some other church members do, and he's raised from the dead. And so you meet these other things, and so God is, what I'm saying, God's moving upon my life, and he's renewing my first love to him, number one, but renewing the fact that we're supposed to be making a difference in our cities and our nations. I know I told you this week I was going to preach on spiritual land. That's next week I'm going to preach on that, because we will mark a 10-year anniversary of where our spiritual land was attacked 10 years ago in 9/11. And can I tell you, our spiritual land's being attacked every day. Your family, the culture of the earth, and the culture of the kingdom of darkness is constantly trying to come against your spiritual land. Schools, for the young people who goes to schools, the enemy constantly tries to come against that. And while you're there at that school, that's your spiritual land to pray over every day. Where you work is your spiritual land to pray over every day. And so all of these things God was just renewing and stirring in my heart. I came back and I told the elders, it's time to send us out and plant us. We are the fifth church plant out of Sojourn Church. And some of the things that have been on mine and Celia's heart for years, as well as the leadership team, has been bringing their life and flavor through what all God's doing here. But we go down, for those who don't know, we minister to the prostitutes just 6 miles from here on Harry Hines Boulevard. I invite you, if you want a real rush in your Christian walk, come down and give Jesus away. Bridget and C, in my opinion, have been the point persons of going to Silk and Satin. And I know many of you other ladies have gone too. But they've gone to Silk and Satin and befriended roughly around 7 of the ladies who do their thing at Silk and Satin. I believe we're going to see them get saved. You see, you and I, we had some stuff on us too. Sinful lifestyle. And that love of Christ that touched our lives. And like I told the people last week, you know, this is my opinion, unless your grandmother gave it to you, keep it. That little phrase that God was carried you and there was no footprints in the sand, footprints in the sand deal, throw it away because it's not real. God loves to mark all the footprints of our lives, even when they were unredeemed days, because he goes back and he tells the devil about those unredeemed footprints of how they're redeemed now. He loves to tell the story about the prodigal son. He loves to tell the story about Peter failing in everything. And you can see the failing footprints of David and Peter and all of those guys and gals in the Bible. But he loves to brag to the devil, goes, my son paid for them, and those footprints are redeemed. Well, see, the church needs to go back out there and release some redemptive footprints in the DNA of heaven and the DNA of God all over our cities. So that's what we go and do. And we're going to have one coming up on the fourth Saturday of this month. I believe it's the 24th of September. It's from 9 till about noon in the morning. We want to invite you to come and go prayer walk over these areas and be ready to just be used by God. What you saw of that one table was us giving away. We hadn't even kicked off our first service, but we sewed in and gave away 70 backpacks with school supplies for kids who couldn't afford to go. You see, it's time to sow into our cities and watch transformation happen. Jesus says in John 12, if a kernel is not willing to die and fall into the ground, then there cannot be multiplication. Some of you that are walking in poverty financially, the only way you're going to break out of it is to sow in the midst of your pain. Amen? Don't get excited about that. And every time you talk about finance, everybody goes, so anyway, I want to invite you to do that. Another outreach we've done and going to really kick it back off very, very soon is an outreach into Capel. But I want to invite you, it's time that we be light and salt in the different places that we walk. And then in closing, I just want to encourage a little, just for a moment. Last week I talked about an echo or sustenance. When you don't have a revelation of who you are and who God is, you're just an echo to society. An echo has no power. It's just coming from something else, and it just kind of ricochets off of everything. Kind of like what Peter would have had if Jesus wouldn't have had that walk with him down the beach. He'd have just been an echo of counterfeit love. But as he walked and then the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, that echo of counterfeit love became a sustenance of love that would turn the world upside down. To the point when you look at Peter's life, Christian history shows it that he was the one that when they came to get Jesus out of the Garden of Gethsemane, that he pulled his sword and he takes a whack at a brother. Now, you know you're a fisherman and not a swordman when you go to take a whack at somebody and all you do is cut off the guy's ear. Because if you're a swordsman, man, you're going to gut the dude, you right? But in this, no longer did Peter defend himself. But in the end, that love and that marinating love of Christ had so consumed his life, beginning at the upper room, that Scripture and church history talks about that when he was martyred upside down on a cross because he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Oh, that we would all be marinated in that kind of love. And you see, our Daddy in heaven loves to talk about our journeys with Him. Father doesn't mind having the Holy Spirit through the different authors, but the Holy Spirit was the author of all the Scriptures in the Bible. But He doesn't mind talking about our failures and our journey to where all of a sudden our echoes in life become a sustenance of authority of who God is, of how big He is and how great He is. Amen? And I was just thinking about some different people in this body of believers that have walked out some tough journeys. Kind of like it says in Hebrews 11, that's just a dialogue of Daddy bragging about his children. When they walked out the unknowns, but the kingdom of God came forth. And he brags about how Abel may have not known it, but he brought a great sacrifice that pleased the Lord. And how about Enoch, that he so walked with God that they're walking one day. Scripture doesn't let us know how long they walked together, but they walked together for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And then the Bible says that God just took Enoch home without dying. And it says this, he took him home without dying because he pleased God. I want to invite you that, and it also goes on to say this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to invite you to don't allow the enemy to beat you up with your failures sometimes or anytime. Because we all will have failures. But it's where you keep your eye on the Savior and you keep your eye on God and you let Him consume your love. I was thinking of Brenda and Ann this morning when we did one of the outreaches, we met them, and that's the reason I'm a big fan of fellowships, because you need to sit and hear the different stories and chapters of all of our lives. They were relocated here out to Dallas, Texas, because a tornado tore up everything they had in Mississippi at the end of April. And I believe it was God that says, why don't you saddle up and head to Dallas? You see, sometimes God takes us places and we don't even know it's Him sharing with us and walking it through it. And then I think of Randy and Kathy Black, and I wish they were here because I know that they've walked through some tough times because the enemy tries to come and bring hell to every one of our doors and lives. It says in Matthew that the winds and the rain hit on every house. But it's the ones that's not built on the rock, the truth of God's word, that will come crashing down. And you got to sit down, you got to talk to Randy and Kathy, and you've got to hear what they've walked through. You see, hell comes knocking at every one of our doors. But you see, I love Psalms 23 that needs to start being preached a lot more instead of just read at funerals. Because our daddy promises that he'll always set a table of feasting in the presence of our enemies. The way you go from an echo is that when hell comes knocking at your door, you stand on the promises of God. And you learn to feast in the presence of your enemies. Because God is the one that put that food there for you to eat of. The truth of His Word, the mercy of His goodness, the love and grace that always touches our lives. You see, too many times we focus on how hell comes and knocks at the door. You need to find the table of God's feasting that's always there for every one of us. Amen? And when we knocked on that little hotel door with Brenda and Ann, they were so sweet and so gracious, and we ended up praying for them, and they've been here ever since. So no matter what we do, we can't run them off, and that's a good thing. And I look at Steve over here, and I look at the struggles and that he's gone through, that his life inspires me to walk with the Lord for those who are guests that you don't know. And see, how I'm talking, I believe church needs to start talking like that, because the Bible is all full of daddy telling the stories of his children. Again, we've gotten politically correct in the church, so we don't do these things, in my opinion. And it's time to have some really, those cool services where we talk about the walk that many of us are having. And I look at Steve, and for the you that may not know, doctors have told him that he's got kidney failure and lung failure. Doctors have told him he needs to have transplants on both. See, we're believing for God to heal. Now, whether God does it through a transplant, I've just seen him not have to go through any more pain. He has to do dialysis 3 or 4 times a day. And his life of walking out the faithfulness of God day after day inspires me. I look at the Joneses over here, and over the last year, Jason had to take a 6 months of sabbatical. For those guests, again, he had to go do a little prison time for a mistake that he made. Well, see, God uses this couple, and they've seen the faithfulness of God of how, because Scripture says, do you ever see God's children begging for bread? I saw God supernaturally provide payments for Coley for the entire time that he was away. I've seen God be faithful over and over and over. And the list goes on and on. I could call out each and every one of us. If you want to go from being an echo to being a sustenance that changes cities, changes your families, find the table for feasting that God always sets in the midst of hell trying to come against us. If you find that table of feasting, you'll always walk in the majesty and power of His glory. And in those places when hell comes knocking at your door, because Scripture says it's going to happen, we've got to start preaching the message of the Word and not the American message that come down and ask Jesus into your life and everything's going to be okay. Jesus even says, He says, if they did these things to me, they're going to do them to you. And he's not talking about people. He's talking about the kingdom of darkness. The place is for your victory when we get a revelation of this, that we get thankful and we find that feasting table every day in the midst of those trying times. We will be transformed and our families will be transformed. Our cities will be transformed because we're eating of the true nature of the kingdom of God. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them to the best that you can. Hell will come knocking at your door sometimes. Find your neighbor to tell it to. Jeff, turn it to, there you go. Emily, turn around and tell it to somebody. But now tell them this. God always sets His faithful table in the midst of that. Just feast of the goodness of God. Feast of the goodness of God. I know I said a long sentence for some of you. You struggled. I got to remember my audience sometimes. I literally did. I came up here last night and was just going to turn the air conditioners on because, you know, it's 90 degrees in here. And I literally ended up staying up here listening to worship, thinking about how God has brought many of you over this last year through a lot. I think of my son and daughter-in-law. I literally did. And I cried last night because I know it's been some trying times for them as any of you who've been married a short time. As a spiritual son and daughter here, it can be trying. But when you choose to find the table with the feasting of God on it, He's always faithful. And I literally just walked around in here for an hour, two, and thinking of each and every one of you by face, and thinking of the faithfulness of God. And I want to beg you every day to focus on the faithfulness of God. And let's quit focusing on the mistakes that we may make, the sins we may commit. You repent of them and say, man, we're going for God. And let's find that table to feast on constantly. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your greatness and goodness. We thank You for the great feast we're going to have in the natural. And Lord, I thank You for all those 70 backpacks we gave away to families that couldn't afford it. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for Your greatness and goodness in everything. I thank You, Lord, for the women that have been befriended at Silk and Satin. And I thank You, Lord, that as the ladies have gone there from this house, Lord, the fragrance and the establishment of Your kingdom is coming forth. Lord, we love You and we give You great praise for Your faithfulness as always. And I speak Your blessings over every one of these precious people. And that if they've been in a season of unthankfulness, I pray that today they would be reminded of how faithful You've been in their lives. And let us walk as Enoch walked with You, pleasing You with faithful and hopeful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.